We are talking about, you can have your seats in this place. We are talking about faith that keeps you from ever falling away. So if you are on Facebook right now, I want you to make that declaration that I am never falling away by faith in Jesus' name. You see, family, I've got an absolute passion for the body of Christ. To ensure and to help to play my part, to see the bride come to fullness without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. To a place where we can, with the Spirit, say, yes, Lord, come. Where the Spirit and the bride says, come. And we are ready for Him. And that is why we're going to delve into the Word a little bit this morning to see how we can never fall away. But we will run our race with endurance. That is your portion. Now, as you take your Bibles and your notebooks, I'm blessed every person in this house has it ready. Because you see, when we get into the Word of God, family, faith comes by hearing. And it is vitally important that you are never in any service where you don't have your Word with you and something to make a note. Because as the Word goes out, the Spirit ministers to every single heart and He brings a fresh revelation to you. He uncovers things from His treasure trove, which is the Word, that you might not have seen before. And that is how maturity comes. So it's important. In 2 Timothy 3 verses 16, it says to us that every single scripture is God-breathed. It's given by His inspiration. And it's profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for the correction of error and discipline in obedience. To live a holy life that we are conformed in our thoughts, our purpose, and our action. And that is exactly, if you will allow the Spirit of the Lord to do this morning, He might come and convict because He so loves you. He brings us into alignment because He wants to take us higher with Him. And you see, as children of God, we are either moving forward or we are stepping back. We are either progressing as Christians or we are regressing. Unfortunately, there is no standing still when you are a child of God. But I declare over you today that you are advancing from glory to glory, manifesting the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, in these times, there are so many distractions. Even right now, I want to encourage you to make the choice to say, I'm going to be single-mindedly focused, not on what I say as Chantel, but as the Word that's coming forth. I'm not going to allow anything to distract me from what the Lord wants to say to me today. Distractions are everywhere. And that is what wants to keep the body of Christ in every place except in the presence of the Lord. But you see, that's not a new thing, because this distraction even came in the garden with Eve. And Eve opened herself up just a little bit to listen to another voice. When Satan came and he said to her, made her contemplate the integrity of God. And he said to her, girl, this is just my words, girl, you can be a goddess. What does God know? He is so afraid that you become just like Him. You can know good and evil. And he said, trust me. And unfortunately, she did. And this is where we find ourselves right now. You see, the problem was that they just so slightly moved away from the Word of God. That she might have forgotten, what exactly was it that the Lord said? What exactly is it what His instructions were? And that is a dangerous place to be. Ever so slightly away from what the Lord said. And you see, the reason why lies are so deceptive is because it contains enough truth in it to make an ignorant person fall for that. If it was blatant in your face, the devil came and manifested as the ugly demon thing that he is, then everyone would run. But he doesn't come like that. Ever so slightly. 2 Timothy 4 verse 3 in the Passion Translation says the following. It says, for the time is coming when they, that's the people, will no longer listen and respond to the healing words of truth. because they will become selfish and proud. They will seek out teachers with soothing words that line up with their desires, saying just what they want to hear. But that is not you. You recall what Jesus said to Peter? He spoke to Peter, and if you are in the comments on Facebook, I want you to jot down the scripture so that everyone can keep along. In Luke chapter 22, verses 31, Jesus speaks to Peter, but listen what he says. He says to him, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat. It's a startling statement that Jesus makes to him, and he says to him, Simon. He was no longer Simon. He was Peter. And Jesus said, on this revelation of who I am, I'm building my church. This church is this rock is the foundation. So that was the promise. He was Peter. But Jesus said, Simon, Simon. And that reminded him. It took him back to the place where he was aware of his humanness, his carnality, his weakness. And he said to him, Satan demanded to sift you like wheat. I pray, family, that your eyes and your ears will be open this morning to see how Satan wants to come into the body and to scatter us. He wants to sift you. And you see, when Peter, it wasn't a great sin that came. He didn't slip into adultery. He didn't steal the money like Judas did. No, it came subtly. Because you see, he had fear of man. He was a coward in that moment when they said, who is this Jesus that you were walking with? And he denied even ever being associated with the Messiah. But I want you to take heart, because in the very next verse, Luke 22, 32, Jesus says to him, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail you, and that when you return back, that you will strengthen your brothers. And I want to say to you right now, Jesus is interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. And he is standing and he is speaking words over us. But there is something that we have to do. We are talking about faith that will ensure that we never fall away. Now, our main scripture for this morning is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. 2 Peter 1, verse 10 and 11. It says, dear brothers and sisters, you have to work hard to prove that you are really among those that God has called and chosen. It says, do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. Now we have to study what these things are that we should do to ensure that we never fall away. And where do we find that? Just in the previous sentences. In 2 Peter, same scripture, 2 Peter 1, but verses 5 to 9. And this I'm going to read for you from the message. It says, so don't lose a minute in building on what you have been given, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love. Complementing your basic faith. Each of us received the measure of faith, but it is not supposed to stay there. We are increasing as we listen to the Word of God. Hallelujah. We mature in Him. And then it says, with each of these qualities, active and growing in your lives, that no grass will grow under your feet and no day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. So there is a definite progression that the Bible is speaking about. There is a definite maturity that He's calling us to. That is how the bride becomes without spot or wrinkle or blemish. We go forward by faith. We're going to delve into this. So you see, the basis of faith, it's built on repentance. That is the foundation. Hebrews 6 verse 1 says that that is the foundations of faith. Now we build on that. Every single person who received the Lord Jesus this morning, you now have the measure of faith to be able to access the blessing, the more, that which you don't yet see, but it exists in the heavenly realms, to bring that into fruition. The measure of faith. Now let us quickly delve into these qualities. It's vitally important, and I want you to make notes. I'm going to name for you, because it lists seven things that we must do to mature to a place that we will never fall away. Number one is, you have to be genuinely saved. What does that mean? You have to live a holy life. That is moral excellence, good character. Remember when God said to Joshua, you have to be unafraid, fearless. And it came from a place where he was genuinely knowing who he was. Be genuinely saved. Number two, increase in your spiritual understanding. This comes from a desire for the Word of God. And when you study it, you increase in your spiritual understanding. Number three, pray at all times. Pray in the Spirit. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. Be in communication with the Lord at all times. Number four, we have to stay away from the corruption of this world. We have to have the patient endurance. Because remember, Body of Christ Church, we are here to implement the kingdom of God, not vice versa. So you have to stay away from the corruption of this world. Number five is, live a life that is free from your past sins. Free from your past sins. You have to be aware in the soul realm what tripped you up. This is where self-control, self-discipline comes in. And when any storm of life comes, we don't walk back to the very thing that held us captive, which Jesus needed to come and save us from. No, we are not those who fall back into perdition. We are moving forward. So you walk away from all past sin. Number six, we are being submitted to the authority of God and our spiritual leaders. That submission brings forth godliness, reverent fear, and that ensures that you are firmly planted so that you can be that one that bears much fruit in every single season. And number seven is, be generous in love. Everything is founded upon love. Everything is undergirded. Everything is sustained by love. And God so loved the world that he gave his son. So do those seven things, then you will progress to maturity. And you see, the closer we get to the heart of God, the closer we come to him, we don't even want to be a part of anything of this world anymore, because we know who we are. God's word is the way forward, family. This word is the way forward. And this is not just a book of instruction. This is a book of covenant relationship. Even say that right now. This is my covenant relationship. Not just instruction. Joshua 1:8 says, don't for a minute let this book of revelation be out of your mind. It's not merely law. Maybe you heard it and it said in other translations, don't just let this book of the law depart from you, and you're thinking it's just a set of instructions what I must do. But it is divine revelation, because this is indeed the light unto your pathway. As you are in the word, it illuminates to you where you should walk. Hallelujah. It says, ponder and meditate on it day and night, and make sure that you practice every single thing in it. Then you will get where you are going. Then you will succeed, says the Lord. Haven't I commanded you? Strength, courage, don't be timid, because I am with you. Hallelujah. You see, family, we should read this Bible as our lives depend on it. Because in this time, we cannot depend on going to church anymore. It comes from your covenant relationship. And if you get to go to church and you get to tune in, that's a benefit. But it's because of your relationship with him. And when the storms of life comes, Jesus said, that the man whose house is built on the rock, on the solid foundation, he will not be swayed because we are standing firm in him. And you see, Jesus said to us, he showed us what to do when temptation comes. In the wilderness, when Satan came and he wanted to defeat him and to just say to him, I want to tempt you. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live from bread alone. And then he came again and he said to him, I can offer you all the kingdoms of the world. And Jesus again said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God only. So you have to have the word in you to be able to stand. You see, if Eve walked in this revelation that she was already made in the image and the likeness of God, then he couldn't come and dangle anything in front of her. But it comes to identity, family. It comes down to, do you know who you are? Because if you don't, we seek everywhere. We wander everywhere. And then the devil can come in and he can say to you, I can give you fame. What about fast cars? How about fortune? What about some sexual pleasure? What about some drugs and alcohol? That is how he comes in. But I want to end off with this. When you know who you are royalty, family. He is the king. We are his children. Royalty never seeks affirmation from another person. Royalty is here to meet needs, not to just have needs, like Kevin said. And you know what? You have free access to go straight into the throne room of the king, who is now your father. Everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to us. I thank you, Lord, that today you are baptizing these people afresh everywhere that they find themselves with the identity of who they are. That you have called us to lead this world, not to be led. In Jesus' name, you've got free access. Go to him. Then you walk different. You talk different. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to just prophesy over you today that things are changing, that you are seeing who you are supposed to be. That you have been made new in Christ Jesus. That he paid a high price to set us free. And now we walk in maturity. I thank you, Lord, that your bride will be ready. And that we will say with the Spirit, oh, come, Lord Jesus. But until that day, we will occupy and not opt out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.